Anyway, Romans chapter 6 and verse number 13. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 13. The Bible says this, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Very interesting here, as this is the second message in this Christian Life series. The first one was the crucified life. Last week, if you remember that, very convicting and compelling, for myself anyway, as I was preaching that, I felt very convicted over it, that the Lord had really dealt with my heart over it, as far as living the crucified life and understanding what that is, that old man. Well, let's pray first, and I'll get into that a little bit. Father, I need you, Holy Spirit of God, I pray you'd move in our hearts. Help us to understand your word from the scriptures, Lord, that we would grow and learn what you'd have for us today. Please, Holy Spirit of God, work in the hearts of your people as only you can do, in Jesus' name, amen. In this Christian Life series, the first one was the crucified life. We dealt a little bit that with last week, and actually, I checked that. Unless you edited a lot of that out, that was only about 50 minutes. That was a shorter one. I can't believe that. But we looked at that crucified life and understanding that old man, when you were saved, that old man was put on a cross. And the only way he has any dominion is when you let him have dominion over you. You have to loosen the nails. You have to let him off that cross or loosen him from that cross. Amen. You have to do that. So when we sin as a child of God, when we are born again, we have the Spirit of God inside of us. When we sin or we live in sin, what are we doing? We are letting the old man have dominion over us. We are saying, we are walking in the flesh, and we are saying, okay, the old man can now lead us, and we try to resuscitate that old man and give life to that old man after he is on the cross. He is still alive. Remember this. The old man is not dead. He is crucified, but he is not dead. The old man, your old sin nature, is still with you. But it shall not have dominion over you, the Bible says. Why? Because it's crucified. Paul was just reflecting. He was saying, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul always remembered the sacrifice of the Lord. He said, I go on and I live, but I live through Christ. Or Christ lives through me. I walk by faith. It's a life of faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God, he said. You know, that's just it. Difficulties are going to come, folks. Hardships are going to come. Trials are going to come. Problems are going to always be there. But we live through Christ and by the faith of Christ. Amen? That's how we live. That's the life that we're to live. That's the crucified life. It doesn't matter what I want to do. I'm crucified. It doesn't matter. That part of my flesh has been crucified. It shall not have any dominion over me. That is something that we have to understand. And the saddest thing of all is that you and I give it dominion. When we sin, it's our fault. When you're lost, before you're saved, you are all everything about you is sin. There is no new nature. There's only the old nature. You are sin walking. That's just what you are, sinful flesh, and that's all that you are. But when you get saved by the grace of God, that old man is thrown up on a cross. And you have to loose him to give him dominion. Let not, therefore, sin reign in your mortal body. Amen? You're not to let it. That means that I give it permission when I do. When I'm walking in the flesh, it's because I am actively doing that. It's me. I can't blame it on the devil made me do it. I can't say it's because of the way I was raised. I can't make excuses. You know, there comes a time in your life, whether you're a man or a lady, that you need to understand one thing. You're responsible for you. Now, you can blame your spiritual growth on everybody else, but I learned a long time ago when I was 19 years old, and I started selling vacuum cleaners door to door on a straight commission and started making a lot of money doing it. And I had a guy that trained me. He was an area vice president. He was 28 years old at the time, and he was a very wealthy man. And he said to me, he said, I would call him up and I would have, and they made me a branch manager after 6 months of being with that company. Just a kid off the street, just selling. Here you go, take this branch. I'm like, okay. So I did it. Do the same thing you did here. Okay, so I just started selling and hiring people and everything else, and it worked. It was great. But you know what he said to me? He said one thing to me. He said, you know, I don't care about your excuses. You know, we have a real problem here. I'd call him up and I'd say, but this is what happened. He'd say, you know what? I don't care. I'd say, what do you mean you don't care? Well, he said, if it's not your fault, then you can't fix it. And if you can't fix it, then nobody can. So guess what? When you learn to be a man, you'll stand up and say, it's me, oh God, it's me. I have to fix me. When you learn to stand up and be a lady and say, admit to yourself, it's me, I'm my biggest problem, then you, through the grace of God, can fix it. But when you keep pointing the finger at everybody else, how you were raised, mommy didn't give me enough hugs, whatever the case may be, when you continue to do that, I'm not saying those things aren't real. I'm just saying, if I use those as a basis for my spiritual life, I'll never have any victory. I'll wander around life with no victory. And you know, I see Christians do it all the time. Or believers, or professed believers. I don't know what they are. That's up to them and God. But what I say is that I see that, and I see no victory in their life, and I wonder, why no victory? Why no victory? You've been promised victory. Why no victory? Why? Why not? You don't need a 12-step program. You need to come face-to-face with the Savior. Either that or face-to-feet. Amen? You need to understand it's you, because then you can work on it. But when it's somebody else's fault, it's hopeless. I guess nobody can do it then. I guess we're all just in trouble. But when I blame me, I can do something about it. That's the crucified life. It's saying, hey, listen, I understand that this is me. I did that. Well, next, we're going to have something even more uncomfortable. It's called the yielded life or the surrendered life. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Notice he says, and yield yourselves unto God. Not your members, yourselves, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. The first thing I notice from this text is that a man will yield himself, a person will yield themselves to something. Amen? The Lord was very clear in Romans chapter 6 that we will yield ourselves to one or two places. Either we will yield to sin or we will yield to God. He explains this in verse number 16. He says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You're going to yield to one. Listen, I'm sorry. God's Word does not give you an excuse to live in fairy tale land, where I'm partly spiritual or partly carnal. No, you're either living carnally or you're living spiritually. Amen. There is no never, never land, invisible place you can live in between. I'm sorry, that's not the Bible Christianity that we preach. That's not what the Bible says. You're either living that spiritual life, now that there's a process of growing in grace, we understand that. But you're either living that life, you're heading that direction, or you're servants to sin. You're yielded to one or two places. That does not mean that a yielded man doesn't fail. He does. But you can always tell where a man yielded to the Lord, where his direction is. Does somebody have to wonder where your direction is? Do they have to wonder which direction you're giving into? Shouldn't. I don't mean by sin that we have. We all have some of that. I mean the whole direction of your life, though. You can tell when someone has yielded to the Lord. You can tell. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? If you yield yourself unto sin, then you have to obey sin and you follow sin, and that's your servant. You are servant to sin. And sin is your master. Yeah? A man will yield himself to one or two places, though. That yielding means to surrender. To yield a fortress to the enemy, or to yield up a fortress, to comply with, as I yielded to his request. As born-again believers, we have a decision to make. Either we will yield or yield to God, or we will yield to sin. If we yield to God, it will be unto obedience, unto righteousness. But make no mistake about it, there is no in-between. If you're not yielded to God, if you're not surrendered to God, you are surrendered to sin. There is no in-between. It is very popular today to try to preach an in-between message to draw a crowd and make people happy. But that's not biblical. You know, why do you think the prophet stood up amongst the people of Israel and he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. If God be God, then serve Him. If Baal be God, then serve Him. There's coming a time right now in our world that God's people have got to make that decision. Because the in-between will not last when trouble comes. It'll only be the ones that are yielded to God, that are already surrendered and say, you know what, I've already surrendered to God, I'm already His. So you can go ahead and slit my throat if you want to, or I can die right now, but I'm already His. I'm already His, He's taken me home, He'll claim His possession. Hallelujah, I'm a servant of God, He owns me, I'm thankful for that. If you here today think that it's a bad thing to be a servant to God, you are sorely mistaken, because a master always comes for his property. And I'm God's property, and I thank God that He'll come for me one day. And guess what? He's going to grab my soul one day when this flesh drops and I die, and He's going to take my soul to heaven. He's going to give, an entrance shall be administered unto me, the Bible says, unto everlasting righteousness. I will go to be with my Lord in heaven. Why? Because I'm a servant of His. Now, I've been saved by the grace of God. I'm not saying that someone that's not doing right is not saved. What I'm saying is that I'm glad I'm His. I understand that I'm His. Amen? Paul said, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. We'll pick that thought up in a little while here about what we used to do before we were saved and how well we serve sin and how little we like to give to God. But next, God commands a yielded heart or a surrendered heart to Him. Paul said the same thing. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, except unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed. A living sacrifice. Paul said, a living sacrifice. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If I have yielded my heart to God, then I have yielded my body. And that's a sacrifice well-pleasing to God. Do you understand that? A surrendered or a yielded heart, a surrendered Christian life already understands that they're God's and their body belongs to God. That will help you control what you do with that body. Amen? It really will. Why? Well, because it belongs to the Lord, and if I betray Him, it's a sad state of affairs. But one thing God wants is your heart surrendered to Him. You say, well, God, I won't go do this, and I won't go do that. No, 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 that's not what God said. That's not what Paul said either at the beginning of this. He didn't say that, did he? No, he said to yield yourself. What's yourself? Your heart. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If God has your heart surrendered to Him, I'm talking about from the depths of your soul, your heart, the seat of all affections and emotions. Who you are is in God's hands, surrendered to God, then it shows in your life. And when it's not, it also shows in your life. Amen? And we have a lot of Christians today, or born-again believers, I should say. There's a difference between a believer and a Christian. A Christian is a follower of Christ. A believer may be saved, but not following Christ. Amen. I believe there's a lot of professors, but let me just say this, that a Christian follows God. Amen. They were called Christians in Antioch because they followed Jesus Christ. They followed the way. Amen. A yielded life or a surrendered life is the only life that is well-pleasing to Christ. He wants living sacrifices. He died for us. It is our reasonable service. I've preached that message to you before. He died for us. It's His reasonable service to yield our hearts and lives to Him. Do you understand that? That it is God's reasonable service. It is the reasonable service of you to give your life to Christ. It isn't even above the call of duty. You are not even giving above what God would require. You are just meeting the limit of saying, God, I'm yours. Take me. Do with me as you will. I surrender all. And then you know what happens when you surrender all? It's not a problem when a situation arises that you don't like because you're already surrendered at heart to Him. So it doesn't matter if you like it or not. You're going to obey God. But that's what the problem is. In Christianity today, we have this little problem that we think that, well, if something comes our way or something happens that we don't like, well, we're not going to accept it. Why? If you have a surrendered heart, then you are going to accept what God brings your way because you're already surrendered to Him. I think of a book to really understand a surrendered heart. I was reading a book to my children, Robinson Crusoe, a little kid's book, and I was reading it to them. And I try to read something to them every night. And I was reading this book to them, and I thought about this islander, this savage that he had saved that was going to be. You remember the story how he went out and he saved this savage that was going. These people were going to eat him. They were going to cook this guy, and a bunch of crazy folks out there. They were just going to eat this guy, and he came along and he saved him, and he said, you know, he said, I swear to you, I'll be loyal to you forever. Whatever you ask me to do, I'll go with you. Wherever you ask me to go, I'll go with you. I'll be loyal to you forever. Why? Well, because he saved his life. Now, Jesus Christ saved your soul. If you're a born again believer here, He saved your soul. Why is it so that we cannot live for Him? Why is it that we cannot or will, we will not live for Him? He died that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, but you and I can't live for Him. He has not yet asked you to die for Him, but live for Him. A surrendered life will understand that. A yielded life to Him will understand that, hey, listen, I'm yours. After your heart is yielded or surrendered, then your members are as well. You know, if you already give God your heart and you're surrendered to Him, and you've given it over to Him, then guess what? Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. That's the heart, yielded unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Why is Paul saying it? Because before you were dead in trespasses and sins, you could not be righteous. But He gives you, He imputes, He imparts upon you righteousness when you're saved. He clothes you with righteousness. He hung naked on the cross to clothe you in righteousness. And you and I are to yield our members, our hearts, and then our members will follow unto righteousness. You can tell when God has a yielded heart to work with. You can also tell when somebody is rebellious against God. Amen? It's very plain to see. Why is it? Well, it's very simple. When I give my heart to God, my members follow. My hands. Don't tell me you love Jesus, but you can't get your body to church. Amen? Don't tell me you love Jesus when you can't take that pocketbook out and support His local church. Amen? Don't tell me you're yielded to the Lord or surrendered in the heart to Jesus Christ while you're fornicating or looking at pornography. Amen? Why? Well, because if your heart is yielded, then your members follow. They follow. And lady, don't tell me you're surrendered to Jesus Christ if you're advertising your flesh and making men lust after you. Come on. If your body is being seen by everybody and you're not covered. Come on. It's true. How is a yielded, surrendered heart if your flesh is exposed to everybody? It's not. You'd be fooling yourself if you believe that I could give my heart to Jesus Christ, but my body is exposed to everybody to see. Come on now, that's just truth. You are not to yield or surrender your members to sin and unrighteousness. The Bible says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. We live in a day and age where marriage is frowned upon. I never understand this concept. This concept just strikes me as so foolish. Well, we've been living together for a long time because we're saving up for a wedding. Well, listen, you don't have to save very much. Just get in here. We'll talk about it, and we'll get you married if that's the case. But, you know, if you're going to tell me that you need to live together and fornicate, you know, because you're saving up for a big wedding, you've lost it, dear. What have you lost? You've lost your mind. Because you're saying, Jesus, I'm going to sell my purity out to the devil for a big ceremony. Well, you don't deserve a big ceremony. First of all, if you're going to fornicate like that and commit that fornication, then why save up the money for it? So you're saying, I would rather seek the applause of man and the honor of man than the honor of God Almighty. That's not a surrendered heart to God. You understand that? But we live in that day and age today where that's popular. I've got to save, and I've got to do wrong and save to do that. And I've got to make this... No, I mean, it's foolishness. And I know people that I've seen people that are supposed to be saved that have this mentality. No, that's not biblical. It's wicked. But we live in that day and age. The Bible says this, meats for the belly and belly for the meats, for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Amen? I'm not to do that. You know, for the born-again believer, you must understand one thing, that purity is important to God. Doing things right is important to God. You may have sinned and messed up in the past, but there's forgiveness with God, amen? And He forgives you and He wipes the slate clean, amen? And He says, now do right, now go and sin no more. Amen? Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that wonderful? But when you do that, when you confess and you repent Him, you understand one thing. Yield your heart to Him. Surrender it to Him. Let God have you. You know, if Christ has a yielded or surrendered heart, He has eyes that are surrendered that will not gaze on the filth of this world. Amen? Because they're surrendered. They're surrendered eyes. Their members follow what the heart says. Amen? He has hands that are surrendered that will not touch the unclean thing. He has feet that will not take you places that you should not go. Your members will follow your heart. And when they're surrendered to the Lord, they'll follow into righteousness. All of these matters are heart matters. If the heart is surrendered, the members follow. I don't believe in this gospel doesn't change somebody. I've told you that over and over again. Now you'll never get me to believe it as long as I live. You're looking at a man that used to be a fornicator, a druggie, a drug dealer, everything you could possibly imagine. And I'm not ashamed of it any longer because I've been forgiven of it. But I'll tell you one thing. You can't tell me that your members and your heart is right with God if you're going to follow after unrighteousness. If your direction is unrighteousness, then you've not surrendered your heart to God. I didn't say you weren't saved. I said you're not surrendered. Amen? Do you know it's even worse that you are saved and you're not surrendered? If it was a matter of your salvation, that would be wonderful. You could get saved and God would change your life. But when it's a matter of your sanctification, what you're saying is, God, you're not important enough for me to surrender to. I love my flesh more than I love you. Ouch. That hurts, doesn't it? It hurts to admit that. It hurts to admit that. By the way, every single person in this room in some way could admit that. we follow our flesh more than we do our Lord in some area of our lives. Amen? In some area. Your actions and the pattern of your heart and your actions prove who you are surrendered to. They prove it. Did anybody wonder who the 12 followed? They didn't wonder. They knew he followed them. Now, one of them was a devil. But Jesus had already said that, didn't he? But they understood. They knew. When they seen those Christians in Antioch, when they said that they first called them Christians in Antioch, little Christians, little followers of Christ, they understood that, hey, those people follow the way. They follow the way of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. They follow that man named Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that one that resurrected from the dead. They follow after his way. They believe what he says. It wasn't hard for them to see. You know what's really sad in this world today? It's hard to find people following the way. Remember what Paul said? In the way of good shall be evil spoken of. It's very interesting. You hear a lot of atheists talk and others talk, and they try to make it sound like the world's problems, which is setting up, by the way, for that reason, are the Christians' fault. It's pretty much the direction it's going. And the Antichrist will use that someday to his advantage. But then, and they'll try to, when he martyrs and he does what he does at that point, he will kill those that follow the way. Amen? We understand that we believe, according to the Scriptures, that we'll be raptured. Amen? We believe that. We don't know when. We don't know how thick it'll get here. Amen? Before, we have no promise of that, of what's going to take place or how it is. But shouldn't people be able to tell who you're surrendered to? Shouldn't they be able to see it? Shouldn't it be evident in your life? Shouldn't our speech tell who we're surrendered to? Shouldn't our tongue as a member, remember, that's a member, shouldn't our tongue show a surrendered heart to God? A yielded heart to God? Shouldn't what we say and how we treat people show whether we have a surrendered heart to God? Well, let me tell you something. It does show. Amen? It shows when it is and it shows when it's not. Number four here. To surrender or yield means not my will, but thy will be done. A surrendered life is not looking for what pleases me, but what pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. I hear many of God's people say everything they do, what they want to do, not what to do, not what Jesus wants them to do, though. It's what I want to do. I don't want to dress that way. I don't want to walk that way. I don't want to talk that way. I don't want to hear that type of sermon. I don't want that sort of thing. Wait a minute, I thought you were surrendered to God, so it didn't matter what you and I want, it matters what He wants. But I want to be tickled, my ears tickled, I don't want to hear hard preaching, I don't want to have that. You know, the amazing thing is that Jesus was God in human flesh and dwelt among us, and He was the perfect example of a yielded or surrendered life. Do you understand that Jesus was manifested in the flesh, and that He came and He said, not my will, Father, but thy will be done. I'm going to the cross, and I'm going to have all the world's sin upon me, and I'm going to suffer and bleed and die and have all of the world's sin upon me, but not my will, Father, thy will be done. Made himself a man. No one forced him to. Did you know that no one forced him to crawl up on that cross and die? Do you know that not one person forced that? That Jesus Christ gave up his life willingly. He said, I have power to take it. I have power to give it, and I have power to take it again. He had power to give his life. He came and lived a perfect, sinless life. And he showed us, as God the Son, that he would submit to the Father's will. And you and I have a problem submitting to the Father's will. But he showed us, even unto death, he was faithful. Even unto death. Wow. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, please. I just want you all to know that a kid crying can't out-preach me yet. You understand me?
Amen.
Don't bother me a bit. If it starts bothering you, I'm going to start yelling at you. Amen. Wake you up a little bit. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 6. Listen to the humility of Christ here. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Do you understand that? You don't want to be humiliated, though, do you? You don't want to be humbled by the Scriptures. I don't want to be humbled by the Scriptures. I don't want God to lay me open. I don't want the preacher to take the Word of God and lay me open and show me what I really am. Why? Because I'm not humbled enough. That's why. I don't want to be humbled. I've not surrendered to God. I've not made myself of a lowly estate and understood who God is and who I really am. So when a preacher preaches something, I get offended by it or I get upset by it. Yeah? Because I don't want to be humbled. We're all like that. Yeah? Remember the words of your Lord. O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. Even unto death, thy will be done. So you have life. And when it said, when a challenge comes into your life or you face something and it's thy will be done, you don't want to say thy will be done. No, it's me, God. I want what I want. I want it my way. That just proves that you and I have not surrendered to him. When I'm surrendered, it means not my will, God, but thy will be done. No matter what it comes, Lord, I know. You and I have to decide that if the Bible says it, we must obey it. I'm amazed at how much situation ethics go on today. I'm just amazed at it. How we try to make excuse. You know what situation ethics are? Let me explain it to you. It's an excuse to disobey God. There you go. That's an easy. Situation ethics is an excuse to disobey God.
Right.
What if? I don't want to hear your what ifs. Thus saith the Lord. On abortion, what if somebody's raped? That's a what if. Does that mean that's not a life? I don't like it. Do I like it? No, but it's still a life. Amen? Do I kill life because of someone else's sin? Do I kill it? Do I murder? Remember, David, he tried to murder to get out of something. What happened? It just kept going, didn't it? The cycle never stopped until he was fourfold punished. The surrendered life understands one thing, that we are bought and paid for with a price. Would you look up here at me and understand that? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Would you understand that you're bought and paid for with a price? Do you forget about that? I do sometimes. This is that surrendered life. This is understanding the surrendered life. Verse number 18 is good. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. We read that already. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Your body is bought, you are bought and paid for with a price. The temple of the Holy Ghost. You as saved children of God have the Holy Spirit of God tabernacling with your flesh inside of you. And you're not your own. You were bought and paid for with a price. So then in that case, I'm just surrendered to Him. Why? Because if I'm in His hands and I'm surrendered to Him, then I will fulfill this part of it. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You're God's. You belong to Him. Now, if you're not saved, if you've never come in repentance and faith and been born again, then you're right, you're not His. But if you have come in repentance and faith, believing the gospel, and been born again by the Spirit of God, then guess what? You're His. So I hate to break it to you, it doesn't matter what you want. It doesn't matter what I want. What matters is what God says. God's Word is what matters. Amen? But I want my way. I know a lot of rebellious kids that want their way. I just hate that they're 30 and 40 year olds, that's all.
Amen.
And some 50 and 60 year olds. I want my way. I know, but I thought little kids did that. I didn't think God's children did that. But remember now, in Israel, in the wilderness, they did the same thing. No, I'm gonna get my way. No, you're going to die in the wilderness. I'm already the Lord, so it doesn't matter if I like it or not. What matters is what God says. Obedience is a yielded heart. And the obedient heart is a yielded heart. One that already says, if the Bible says it, I must follow God. It's not do I want to, or if I think it's okay, but it's thus saith the Lord. Many Christians today need to get past relativism. Well, if it's relevant. No, it doesn't matter if it's relevant. I don't live in a state of relativity. I follow the Word of God. If Jesus Christ said it, then I should follow it. And if I don't follow it, I'm wrong. And as a pastor, I'm to follow the Bible, and if I don't follow it, you follow it. Amen? But thus saith the Lord is a surrendered person's motto. Not my will, but thy will be done. That man with a surrendered heart understands that. He was bought and he was paid for with a price. So it's not, well, I want to get into a relationship. Well, maybe God doesn't want you in that relationship. If the Bible says no, then you don't get involved with it. Amen. So what do you mean? Well, if you're saved and you're living for the Lord, you don't go trying to look for somebody that's not saved and not following the Lord. Amen. That's Scripture, folks. Be not unequally yoked together with non-believers. So the Bible says. Amen. See, I think I can get them saved. Boy, you think you're God then. I didn't say God doesn't show mercy. He does. But boy, I sure wouldn't want to act like I'm God and think I got it all worked out. Amen? Come on. I don't believe I like going to the beach and wearing a bikini. Wearing a swimsuit at the beach. It doesn't matter what you like. Your body's not yours. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Doesn't matter what you want. See, I don't want to wait for marriage. Doesn't matter what you want. If you love Jesus Christ, then you're surrendered to Him and you'll wait. Amen? You'll wait for Him. Look, you can't go back and fix things that you've already done, but you can decide to walk in newness of life now. Amen? I don't like that. My family likes doing this and this and this and that's. But you preach against that and the Bible's against it. Well, then don't do it. I had somebody ask me one day, do you take your wife and go swimming at the beach? I said, no. They asked me why. I said, because there's naked people there. Yeah, but you're not naked. Yeah, but I don't want to see naked people. Is that weird? I don't know. I think it's right. I don't want to see another woman in a bikini because I know what that does to a man's mind. And you'd have to be a homosexual if it did nothing to your mind. In which case you have another problem to deal with. Come on, the Bible speaks of it. Understand that. Those things our surrendered heart will already follow. I need to separate myself. We'll talk about the separated life here coming up too. But that's not this sermon. But that's part of living that separated life. That is a life, though, that has already decided to surrender to God. The separated life is that surrendering to God, that practice of that surrendered life. It is that I've already decided that if it pleases God, I'll do it. If it doesn't, I'm fine with it. I'm going to follow God. I'm not going to follow the world. I'm going to be different. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's a surrendered life. Already understands that. Already has accepted that. Finally, the yielded life realizes we served sin. Now we must serve righteousness. A heart that is yielded or surrendered understands that. Just as it was natural for us as lost sinners to serve the flesh and the devil, it should be natural in the new man to serve the Lord. You've been given a new nature. You should want to follow Him. I don't understand somebody given a new nature and have no desire to follow Him. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to the iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Listen, folks, when I was lost, I gave sin and wickedness all of me. I immersed myself in this wicked world. I did everything I could, wicked, didn't care, had no conscience for it, just kept going, doing whatever I wanted to do. Now that I am saved by the grace of God, I should be surrendered to Him and I should live and surrender all to Him and give Him everything of me. My hands were used for wickedness before, they should be used for righteousness now. My feet were used to take me places I should never have gone, they should now be used to take the gospel. My eyes were used to look at wickedness before, they should be used now to honor and glorify the King. My money was used for unrighteousness, and I promise you, when we didn't count every dime like we do when we give to the Lord, do we? Boy, when we spent it on the world, we spent everything, didn't we? We didn't care. But boy, we'll nickel and dime the Lord, though, won't we? Well, God, down to the penny, here you go. Oh, please, don't give any extra. I'm not complaining about giving here, by the way. Don't take it that way. I'm not. We're fine. What I am saying is that that's how we are, and I know in our hearts that's the way we are, because I'm like that. Down to the dime, God, this is what I'm supposed to do. Oh, sure wasn't like that when I served unrighteousness, though. I would pay for a lot of wicked things, and I'd spend over the amount of money I should have, well, all of it, obviously, but over the amount that I should have. A budget didn't matter to me when I wanted what I wanted to please my flesh. What do you want to bet if we examine our hearts, we could say the same thing now. If we want to please our flesh, money is not an obstacle. Amen? Think about it. It's not. I can prove that to you when we get ourselves into debt. We realize that after we pay that off. Don't we? Brother Hildebrand, we realize that when we pay that debt off. How much we served ourselves. And how much we gave it all to ourselves. We could sing that song to the world. I surrender all. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? If you think about that, wasn't that your life before you were saved? I surrender all. All to the world I surrender. All to it I freely give. No problem, right? No problem. I give it all. God help us to have a greater fervor and zeal for righteousness than we had for wickedness before we were saved. We were servants of sin. We ought to be servants of righteousness now. But you know what? We have to decide in our hearts we're going to surrender to the Lord and not hold anything back. And we always hold back. Always. We need to give it all to Him. Give our hearts to Him. How about that song we sang, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give, worldly pleasures all forsaken." Ouch, I think we sang a lie today. What do you think? Search your heart. I think we could be somewhat guilty of singing a lie. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Who wrote that song? Are they all forsaken? Probably not in my heart. Hard to admit. It's awful quiet. Hey, listen, if I'm anything, I'm just honest with you. Amen. I'm just telling you. In my heart, have I forsaken all worldly pleasures? Probably not. Now you answer that yourself, not to me. But I think you know the answer. We had no problem serving sin, though, when we were lost. We were both feet in, jump right in, whatever it takes to make me happy. How can it be that I would serve sin better than I will the Lord? How could it be that I would make myself a servant of sin more than I would a servant of God? It's very easy to do, though, isn't it? You and I must daily make that decision. Let me ask you a question. Are you surrendered to Him? Have you thrown up the white flag of your heart and said, "Not my will, but Thy will be done, God"? Whatever it is that pleases You, whatever makes You happy, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever Your Word says, I want to be obedient to You. I want You to have my heart. Take my heart and let it be consecrated unto Thee. Take my life. I think it was Leonard Ravenhill, one of those preachers, said that. He said that Christians don't tell lies, they sing them on Sunday morning. Hey, I'm not excluding myself. I'm telling you that's all of us. I'm not preaching to you. Understand that. Hebrews 10:7. Then said I, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do Thy will, O God." Then said he, "Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God." So Jesus came to do the will of God. He came to be your perfect example of what your life should be. You and I, our lives should be lived to do the will of God. You know what? You don't need a stupid purpose-driven book for that. You don't need smiley Joel Osteen to smile in front of you and tell you it's a wonderful life now. Or your best life now. You don't need that. You need to understand that you are here to please God. You were created to please God. That's why He made you. That you would manifest His glory. That's why. Not so you could please the flesh and do whatever makes you happy, but the will of God to make Him happy,
to please the Lord in all things and to glorify Him, to manifest the glory of God. That's what a surrendered heart does. It manifests the glory of God. Let me ask you, does He have your heart? Does He have your money or this area of your life? But does He have a yielded heart? Does He have it? That's the greatest question after you're saved that you could ask yourself. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me. Search me, try me, know me, lead me. I've preached that to you a couple times. That's the question you have to ask. Search me, O God. That's a scary question to ask, isn't it? You probably already know the answer if you said, God, am I surrendered to you? Have I surrendered my heart to you? Well, ask yourself this. Do my actions show that I have a surrendered heart to Him? Does my speech show that I have a surrendered heart to Him? Does the direction of my life, not that I just show up to church on Sunday, but does the direction of my life show that I'm surrendered to Him? Or when nobody sees it, do I do what I want to do? Is it true I surrender all? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Or makes you face the reality of it that I probably don't surrender all, but I need to. It's a daily sacrifice, folks, because you're a living sacrifice. So you live on, and every day you must decide that you're going to live for Jesus Christ, that He has your heart, you're surrendered to Him, and you're going to obey Him no matter who likes it. I surrender all. I hope so.